Well, enjoyed the singing this morning. Appreciate you, David, leading us in those good selections. Thankful for your presence here, especially visitors that have come our way to worship with us. We're glad that you could join us this morning. We have in the past few Sunday mornings been talking about examples from the Bible, and we have used some New and some Old Testament. And this morning we're going back to look at a New Testament character. I think it's a powerful way to teach, and when you look at the life of someone else, you always find something that you can apply to your own life, and hopefully that will also be true of us. As people look at our lives, they'll also find something good and beneficial that will help them in living the Christian life. We know the power, of course, of an example, and Jesus encourages us to be a light. He encourages us to be the salt of the earth. We must all look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we that? Are we the right kind of example for the Lord and His kingdom? And if we find some things that need to be improved or corrected, hopefully the Lord will give us the good grace and wisdom to change those things. Timothy, this is our example today, and he is mentioned several times in the New Testament. He is quite a servant of Christ. You know, oftentimes in our lessons, we're talking about servants. And when the Lord has called us, He always gives us a service to perform in the kingdom. And He wants to make each of us good servants. And when we follow His Son and the example that He has set for us, we will be exactly that. Jesus Himself said, I came not to serve, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. And how many times in his life did he illustrate that to those that were closest to him? There's always something each of us can do to expand the kingdom, to expand the local work in the church, and to help edify and encourage others that are in the church and those that are outside the church as well. You know, service, though, not only benefits the people that we serve, but one thing that I really want you to think about this morning, it benefits us. When we give ourselves to the Lord in service, it changes our heart, it changes our minds, it makes us what God would have us to be, it changes our lives. And, you know, there's a story about a very wealthy man who had a contractor to build for him. He was going to leave the country. So they got together and decided on what would make the perfect house. And he said, I want you to build this house and don't spare any expense. Use the very best materials. So when he got back, the house was built. But unfortunately, the contractor had skimped on some of the materials and pocketed the money. And so when the wealthy man got back, he looked at the house and he said, well, that looks like a very fine house. And he handed over the deed of the house to him as a gift. When we serve the Lord in His kingdom, we need to realize that we should give the very best service that we can give because it builds us. And we don't want to build in a very cheap way, an inefficient way. We want to use the very best that we can. We think about Timothy, and I see him in that light. I think Paul, the Lord, through Paul, gave him some good tools to work with. And I think Timothy, if I'm reading him right, I think he used the best material that he could when he worked for the Lord. He was really a dedicated servant. And you can see that from all the things that are said about him. The word Timothy, by the way, means one who honors God. I can't think of a life that does that better than the life that we see about Timothy in the text. One that honors God. Timothy. What a name. And I would hope that people would see that in our lives, even though our name might mean something else. I would hope they would be able to see that we do that. That we honor the Lord. He is mentioned, I believe, about 24 times in the New Testament and about 12 different books of the New Testament. Think about that. That's a pretty wide range. 24 times, 12 books of the New Testament, he is mentioned, this Timothy. Most of the time associated with Paul and his work is a servant who assisted him and ministered to him in many different ways. We read even a little bit about his family, because we are told that, his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, mentioned in the books that, of course, that bear his name. And in that passage, Paul is actually complimenting Timothy. He says, I see in you a sincere faith that also dwelt in your grandmother and your mother. His mother was a Jewish. His father, we don't know much about, except that he was a Greek. We read that in the book of Acts. And evidently, he was raised as a believer in God and come to faith in Christ, of course, through the preaching of Paul. But all the way through his life, he knew the Scriptures. He was one that was acquainted with them. So good teaching, good example was given to him, and he gives us a good example as well. All of us who have had that benefit, we ought to be extremely thankful in our life. Well, you know enough about the world to know what people grow up with. Some of the environments they have and how non-spiritual and anti-God and immoral many of those environments are. And so if we've had an environment in our life that has shaped us for good and taught us about God and good principles, we ought to be thankful for that. And we ought to honor that by giving the very best that we can. I think Timothy kind of comes along in that mold, you see. We read about people in the Bible who are great servants of God who had just the opposite type of background. And yet they came to the Lord, and by God's grace they were saved and served the Lord in a powerful way. But some people kind of, as we say, you know, the language we like to use, grew up in the church. Some people kind of like that, and they have every benefit and every example, and sometimes they turn away from the Lord, no longer serving. So we ought not to do that. We ought to honor God and honor the example that has been given unto us. And certainly I can see that in the life of Timothy. When you read through the book of the New Testament, several times you'll see short little phrases made about Timothy, most of the time by Paul, to tell us something about his wonderful life and how he was so dedicated to the Lord. You know, I think about times like that, and I think, well, I hope people have something to say like that about me. And I think you wish the same if you're a faithful Christian of God. For instance, on one occasion in the New Testament, he says that he ministered to me. That's a short little phrase, isn't it? But it tells you something about Timothy. He didn't mind playing second fiddle to Paul. And most people that worked with Paul, they were going to do that because of the way that he was and his personality and so outgoing and so bold in his preaching and everything that is said about his ministry. But we shouldn't think for a moment, of course we know he had God's help, but we shouldn't think for a moment that Paul did everything that he did in service to the Lord by himself. He had a lot of servants, and he says, he ministered to me, he served me. And I'm so thankful for that type of work. The Bible, in fact, says he is a fellow worker. Now, several times you find that little phrase in the Bible, but it's given about Timothy, too. You know, some people don't realize that to be in the kingdom and to be a Christian, that we're actually called not only to be that, but we're called to be workers. And most of us in our lives, we know what it is in certain fields and our occupation and athletics and academics and everything. We know what it is to be workers. But unfortunately, in the kingdom, spiritually speaking, a lot of people don't know what it means to be a worker. We need more workers in the kingdom of God, people that will go out and get something done for God and for the local church and for the ministry. And so Timothy is described as being that way. He also refers to him as a beloved son. Now, most people think that Timothy was converted on the first missionary journey by Paul. And he went to the Galatia area, Lystra and Derbe, places like that. And then you remember there was a second missionary journey. Acts in the 16th chapter and the first few verses there tell you about that. And he entered back into this region. And he decided to take Timothy with him as a companion from that point forward. Again, this speaks well of Timothy because he was willing to go. And also you see in the text that the Bible says that the brothers and sisters around that area spoke well of him. They hadn't been a Christian very long, but they already had some impact in the church and his service, and people thought well of him and what he was doing, and he could be recommended to Paul by them. And so he takes up Timothy and he begins on all these missionary journeys and these travels, and Timothy most of the time is with him, and if he's not with him, he's somewhere else helping him in some way. And so this speaks very well of him. The Bible says that he was a beloved son. The Bible says he was faithful in the Lord. You know what that means? That means he had some perseverance about himself. You know, if he's with Paul, he's going to go through some hard times because Paul would drag you through those hard times. But the Bible says he was faithful in the Lord. And the Bible says he worked the works of God. I found that a peculiar phrase, but the Bible says Timothy did that. God has works, and, you know, sometimes they just sit there. You know, by benevolence, edification, evangelism, whatever it is, those works just sit there. But he has works, and the Bible says Timothy worked the works. Are you working the works? That's what God wants us to do. And then a very plain statement, the Bible says he preached Jesus. That speaks well of him. Wherever we go and what we do, we preach Christ. And when we preach his word, and when we preach the gospel plan of salvation as is given in the Bible, when we preach about the kingdom, we're preaching Christ. Don't make mistake about that. You know, it was some time ago, and I suppose there are still people that believe this way. Just preach about Jesus. Don't tell me about the church. My friend, that's a wrong type of thinking. Jesus and the church go together. He is the head of the church. And if you'll read very carefully, in Acts the 8th chapter, the Bible says Philip preached Jesus, and when he preached Jesus, he told them about the kingdom. And he told them about the gospel plan of salvation, how to be baptized into Christ. And all that was under the heading of preaching Jesus Christ. If we stand for Jesus Christ, we will stand for his word. Jesus said, whoever shall be ashamed of me and my word, I shall be ashamed of him. Won't you stand boldly then for Jesus Christ and what he teaches on every subject? When we do that, we're preaching Jesus and we're standing with him. And I hope the church here will always be willing to do that. Well, that's just a few things the Bible says about Timothy. As you go through the 12 times that he's mentioned, or the 12 books that he's mentioned in, some 24 times, those are great compliments about him. But you can't leave out, you can't leave out that text that was read a few moments ago in Philippians. I think that's such a wonderful compliment. And most of those phrases I told you about are short little clauses. But that's several sentences there, and he talks about Timothy. And I really like that one where he says, I have no one else like him. Now think about that for a minute. Now all the people that Paul was acquainted with and all the people that he served with, he says, I have no one else like Timothy. That's quite a compliment. And he's going to send Timothy to the church at Philippi. And you remember that Paul had a wonderful relationship with the church at Philippi. They loved each other, helped each other, supported each other. And when he wants to find out about how they're doing, he says, I'm going to send Timothy. You tell me about your welfare, about your state you're in. And he says, I have no one like him because, now listen, he's interested in the things of Christ. And most people are caught up in their own self-interest. Now, if that doesn't hit you right between the eyes, then you're not giving it enough, you're not giving it enough thinking. I really love Timothy. He's the best thing I've got going as far as a servant, because he really cares about the interest of Christ. And I have to ask myself, am I devoted in that way as he's devoted? And I have to ask myself, what type of things is Christ interested in? I think about that and I wonder how I am in my life with my self-interest. One of the biggest killers of the church today and the lack of progress that is made in so many places is simply one little word, and that's selfishness. Because unselfishness means a devotion outside of our the time that we scheduled, you see. And giving time to the Lord, and giving money to the Lord, and giving our abilities to the Lord. But in our world, there is a great deal of selfishness, and it's kind of bled over into the church. Yet being a servant speaks just the opposite of that, doesn't it? Christ, was he selfish? The men that followed him in the ministry after he was gone, were they selfish men? And this Timothy that we're talking about today, he does not register on that side of the ledger. He was not selfish in any way. He gave of himself. He gave his life, his ministry to Christ. Whatever he could do, he didn't have to be the main man. He says, I can do this second fiddle. I want to serve. But that's very unselfish behavior on his part. You know, you couldn't have a discussion about Timothy without having a discussion about 1 and 2 Timothy, because those books bear his name. Paul wrote those books to him, just like he wrote one to Titus, who was an evangelist trying to encourage them and help them. If you're a young evangelist and you wanted to take part in that ministry and wanted to spread the good news about Christ, and you wanted to go on missionary journeys around the world and establish congregations, what better example could you have than Paul? Who else would you want writing to you but Paul? Because Paul, you know what he's going to do? He's going to tell it like it is. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to hear. If you have any weaknesses, he's going to lay them out there. He's going to say you need to take care of that. Paul believed in the ministry of Christ and the establishment of congregations and the spreading of the gospel, no matter what the cost. And he expected Timothy and Titus to fall in line, do the same thing. As Paul tells us toward the end of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, he's getting ready to lay it down, the torch, pass it on to these two men. And he wanted them to go and do as he had done. Now, all of us in the church need to think about the church like that. First of all, we need to empty ourselves. If we're going to listen to the example and watch the example of Timothy, we need to empty ourselves of self. We need to be unselfish. And we also need to realize that it may be close, it may not be close, but we all need to realize the time is going to come when we have to pass the torch to someone else. There have been people in this church that lived here for many years and served, and they're now gone. And they pass the torch on to you. And someday you're going to be in that position, and you're going to pass the torch on to someone else. And so when we build, we're not just building for ourselves. We have to remember that the cause of Christ is bigger than us. Is somebody going to be ready to do that? Let me encourage you to qualify yourself to do that. You know, I look at 1 and 2 Timothy, and I think that's what Paul was doing with Timothy. Timothy, take the torch and prepare other people to take it when you're gone. That's what he says to Timothy. We think about some of these things that were done, some of the charges that were given to Timothy, and that kind of tells me a lot, because if you were Paul the Apostle, and you're going to pick out somebody to lay a charge on and pass the torch on to, who are you going to pick out? Are you going to pick out somebody that's weak in faith? No, I don't think so. Are you going to pick out somebody that is kind of lukewarm about the work of the church? I don't think so. You see, are you going to pick out somebody that's indifferent? You're not going to pick out anybody like that. You want somebody that's full of zeal, full of faith, somebody that's willing to pay the cost, willing to make sacrifices for the kingdom, and you're going to say, now here's the person I can give charges to, and I know it won't hurt him. He's going to listen to what I have to say, and he's going to get busy for the Lord. He's not going to make excuses. We got too many excuse makers when it comes to the kingdom and work that needs to be done in the church. Timothy's not going to do that. I'm going to give it to him. He's going to run with it. So he picks out that man, and one of the first things he tells him, one of the first charges that he gives him, is study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Now why would Paul give that as a charge to this young evangelist? You think about all the experiences that he's had up to this time. This isn't the last letter he's writing to him. You think about all the experiences that he's had at this time and all the things that he has studied under Paul and all the things that he has learned. Even from his youth, the Bible says he was trained in the Scripture. And Paul writes to him and he says, you study, show yourself approved unto God. We're never too old to study the good book. And there's no evangelist, no matter how many years he's put into the service and preaching, where he's past a point where he doesn't need to study. We all need to study the Word of God. Not just teachers and preachers and elders and deacons, but every one of us as members in the church. We need to be good students of the Bible. And I hope that if you don't have a regular reading program and the Scriptures, I hope you'll get one and stick with it. You know, most of the time we get one around January. Around March, it's out the window and gone. Get one and stay with it. You see, you need to be a person, even if you say, I don't have time, you got time. You do have time to do it. It's just a matter of doing it. You can let something else slide for the Word of God, for the Scriptures. We spend time with a lot of other things not near as important. You can read the scripture, even if it is a small portion. Most of us can read more than a small portion a day. You can read through the Bible. Have you ever? Have you ever read through the Bible? Genesis to Revelation. You know, it's funny, I hear people talk all the time. They'll say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Oh, yes, I believe that. We ought to be guided by it in all of our life. Have you ever read it? Well, no, I've never really read it. That's kind of contradictory, isn't it? Have you ever read through the New Testament? Let's cut it down a third. Have you ever done that? How many times? Once enough? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. If we say we know what God says, then it's because we got it out of the Bible. God's not giving you a personal communication. He's put it in the Word of God. He said, study this, and you'll know what I want you to do. Person says he knows the mind of God and hasn't read the Bible, he doesn't know the mind of God. The mind of God is revealed in the Scripture. This is a charge then that is given unto Timothy. It's a charge, I think, that also is given unto us. Another thing he says to Timothy, and this has to really register. Now, a lot of people think that if Timothy had a weakness, because Paul tells him about this, to do this, so they're assuming that he must have had this weakness, that he was timid. And you kind of pick up on a few places like that. Of course, if you're Paul and you're judging the situation, anybody next to Paul is timid, right? You kind of look at Timothy and think, boy, you need to pick it up a little bit. But one thing he tells him and charges him with is, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You read it there in 2 Timothy in the first chapter, about verse 8. And he said, don't be ashamed of me. We had to wonder why he would say that to this young evangelist, Timothy. And that's because of all the persecution, all the suffering that Paul had been through, and Timothy had been there and seen a lot of it. And he's got to be thinking, if I'm going to take up where he leaves off and follow in his shoes, then that's what I'm going to get. And so Paul says, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I think sometimes we are. And I think it's because we like to be liked. And we know that if we tell someone what we need to tell them, we won't be liked. And we won't be popular. And God didn't call us for that. And so sometimes we shrink from the duty. And he says to Timothy, I don't want you to have that. I want you not to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we won't even tell somebody the plan of salvation because we are ashamed. What's wrong with us, you see? Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, don't be ashamed of me. And so you see Paul, and he spends all his time in prison. You see him suffering. You see the Jewish religious community banning him, ridiculing him, and mocking him. And he turns around to Timothy and says, don't let that get to you. You don't be ashamed of me. In fact, if we have brothers and sisters that are suffering for Christ while honoring him, we ought to have their back, shouldn't we? We ought to support them and help them, not be ashamed of them in any way. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Oftentimes, as members of the body of Christ, I'm not saying we ought not to do it in kindness and love, but what I'm saying to you, we're simply not going forth enough. We're not bold enough. We're not aggressive enough with what we have. And sometimes, maybe not all the time, but some of the time, it is because we are ashamed of the gospel of Christ and the true way of God. He says, Timothy, don't do that. I'm going to be gone. I don't need people hanging around and people that take the torch that are ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Another thing he charges him with is training people to serve. It's what I said about Timothy, take the torch, and Timothy, prepare people to take it because you're going to go too from this earth. So people need to be ready. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, Timothy, be strong in the Lord and in his grace. You know, one of the things, just make a little comment about that, really not what I'm talking about here, but one of the things that we really need to be strong in the Lord and in his grace. You can translate the word grace as God's favor. we say sometimes unmerited favor. But Timothy, if he takes up the mantle and he does what he's asked to do, he's going to need a lot of favor from God. And when he preaches to people that are steeped in sin and fighting him and persecuting him, he's going to need a lot of grace. He's going to have to understand that. And he's going to need that grace for his own life. Each and every one of us, as we take up this torch, we're going to fall, we're going to stumble, we're going to be weak, and sometimes, God forbid, we're going to be ashamed of what we ought not to be ashamed of. But we can be strong in the grace of the Lord and His forgiveness and His favor so that we can start anew. And we always need grace. From the moment you become a Christian to the moment you die, you're going to always need the grace of God. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the grace of God. Yes. And then he goes on and he says, you need to find faithful men that you can teach so they can teach others also. You see what Paul's doing? Paul's not just concerned with his generation. He's concerned with the next one and the next one. And I think in the church, if we would do a little planning, which takes some foresight and some vision, we would show that we're also concerned about that. It's not what can be done just for us sitting right here this morning. It's what can be done for the church and the next generation and the next. The church needs to have more. Local congregations need to have more long-range planning and invest in that. And I have to think, you know, when you read the first letter, in 1 Timothy 3, it gives qualifications for elders and deacons. And he wanted Timothy to preach it in such a way that he would qualify men for that service. I think if we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, if we give the word of God, and one of the things that's really lacking in the church today, it's just balanced preaching from the word of God. It's that simple. We don't get away from the word. What are we talking about anyway? We need to get up here and we need to teach in our classes. We need to preach the word of God because God knows what we need. And we need that food, that spiritual diet. And what does it do? It develops us. It matures us. It makes men ready to be deacons and elders and teachers in the church. And the Lord knows we need more of those. So are you listening? Are you qualifying? Are you maturing? Are you growing? He says, Timothy, that's your job. Preach it, you see. Teach it. Get men ready for the kingdom of God and for the service that needs to be done. One thing that he would need for all of this, and he kind of charges Timothy along this line in his personal spiritual life, is discipline. You don't have enough discipline in our own spiritual lives. I speak for myself as well. And one thing he talks about in the first book, in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto yourself. Listen now. Take heed unto yourself and to your doctrine. Timothy, you better watch what you teach. It does make a difference what you teach. Some people say it doesn't, but I believe it does. It does make a difference what your doctrine is. And he says, take heed unto yourself and to your doctrine. So what he's encouraging him here in is a little spiritual self-discipline. Are you watching yourself? How many times in the church do you read? Or do you hear about people just in the religious world as a whole? About men in the pulpit, you know, preaching the word, taking heed to the word, but their life is a shambles. He says, take heed to yourself, take heed to yourself and to the word, to the doctrine, because both are important. Later on in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter, in verse 11, he encourages him to pursue. He talks about people who pursue worldly things. You know, that's where he says a love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Can anybody testify to that? What you see going on in our world today? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then he says, Timothy, but here's what you're to pursue and follow after. And he talks about righteousness and godliness and faith and love and perseverance and gentleness. He says, you pursue those things, not money. And so he gives him sort of a stepping stone pathway to spiritual discipline in his life. What do you think about every day? What do you think about every day? You know, something that I have found beneficial to me, and I don't know why, really I didn't pick it up originally from the Bible. I know it really goes back to the Bible, but I was watching a show the other day on Benjamin Franklin. And it talked about some of his inventions, of course, and all that, but also his personal life. He's a very disciplined man, as you might expect. And it talked about certain qualities, and he kept a ledger. And in that ledger, he had about 10 qualities that he would write down. In other words, patience, or diligence, being a good steward, anger, things like that. He would write them down, and he would, I believe it was for a week, every day he would think about that virtue. The next week, every day, he would think about that next virtue. And he actually kept a log. And so through that week, he would say, well, I did pretty good today on this. Or some days he would say, I really need to improve on this. This is where I messed up. But you can see every day in his life, he was working on some godly virtue or characteristic. Now, as a Christian, what are you doing? Do we take the virtues that God gives us in the Word of God, do we take them seriously? Are we working on it? Or do we have any plan at all? You know, if we do not have a plan, then we're planning to fail in our spiritual growth. That's just the truth of the matter. And so he comes along to Timothy and he said, this is what you need to be working on. And he talked about his spiritual discipline and his personal life. Be a good steward, Timothy. Evidently, this is what happened. When Timothy came into the ministry, sometime, we don't have a record of it, when it happened, but we have a record that it did happen. Because he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, you use the gift that I gave you through the laying on of hands. Don't let it sit dormant. You use that gift. Now, what that gift was, I don't know. But I believe since it came to him through the laying on of the hands of an apostle, that it was a miraculous spiritual gift. And he said, you make good use of that gift. What's he telling Timothy? He's saying you need to be a good steward of everything God's given you. And so one day, we're going to look back, and we're going to say, I never did use that gift. I don't know what your gift or gifts are, but find a way to use them for God and His kingdom. It's never, ever too late to start. Find a way to use what God's blessed you with to benefit the kingdom and other people. He says to Timothy, be a good steward of the gift that God gave you. Why did he tell him that? Because Paul knew the possibility of even a man like Timothy not using what God had given him. That's why he told him that. One thing that he tells him, and I'm going to end with this charge, but this is the one that we always think about. 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Preach the word. Isn't that a powerful charge? You know, Paul knew what we just were talking about, that what the church needs. What the church needs more than anything else is balanced preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Unfortunately, we've kind of got to, you know, we used to be known for that in churches of Christ. And I'm not saying that we're not in some places still, but I am saying this, that a lot of times when I look around and when I hear what I hear, I find that there's a lot of different religions out there are doing a better job of this than we are, as far as getting into the Word and preaching the text that is in the Word. And we're doing something else. And why we're doing something else, I have no idea. We're not very smart, I guess. God didn't call us. We don't have to be extraordinarily smart. We just got to do what He tells us to do. And it'll work. It'll preach the Word. God does not necessarily call the qualified. He qualifies those that are called. And if you'll give yourself to God, He'll qualify you. He'll put you to work in the kingdom. But we need the Word. one thing we need to do, and of course, this is what he told Timothy when he told him to preach the word. He said, be patient with all long suffering. All right, you know, so we think, well, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. Maybe you're talking about an individual that you're working with, or maybe a congregation that the elders are working with, or a preacher. He says, be patient and long suffering. And that's what we need to do. And we need to be faithful to the calling. You know, you think a lot of examples in the Bible that are good, but I like Timothy. What a servant of God he was. In a way, kind of quiet about it. Maybe that's why Paul thought he was so timid. Kind of quiet about it, but always there, always having the hand to work and to serve. That's what we need more of in the church. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to come this morning. Would you not give your life to Jesus Christ? Timothy did that under the preaching of Paul. So he heard the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Are you willing to believe and be baptized? Enter the kingdom. Work for the Lord. One day he's coming back. And to stand there and to be a child of God and for him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Would you rather hear anything else in all the world than that? But if you haven't, you got to begin. If you haven't begun, we hope that you will by obeying the gospel. If you need to come, come as we stand and as we sing.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at
John. Another great lesson. Our closing song was sing 851, first and third verses. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away.
Fly away, fly away, oh glory.
I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye bye. And then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away.
I'll fly away, fly away.
Oh, glory, hallelujah, by and by, fly away.
Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for these examples of godly people who took a stand in their lives John has been telling us about from week to week. Father, I pray that they may be an inspiration to us to also stand and be counted when problems arise and your word needs defending, your way of life practicing in our lives. Father, please be with us as we go to our homes today. Forgive us as we need forgiveness. Help us, strengthen us. We thank you for blessing.